Join us now for another canter down the corridors of power with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, Hilary Pritchard, and the men from the Ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Ministry men work at such pressure that the strain sometimes begins to show. Their devoted secretaries watch carefully for those telltale little signs that mean all is not well.
Here, Mr. Lamb. Oh! What is that on your desk you're winding your arms about?
Oh,
you haven't dropped the stapling machine down your trousers again.
Well, Mildred, I'm rehearsing for the Civil Service Amateur Dramatic Club.
I see. Your last play didn't do too well, did it? It's the only time I've seen an audience get their money back before the curtain went up.
Well, it wasn't our best production, I'll admit. I think the play was wrong. People complained about the end.
What was wrong with it?
It was too far from the beginning.
I see.
But this new show is different. We're doing a Christmas carol and I'm going to be Scrooge.
Ooh!
I did an audition and Miss Quick, who's producing, said I'm a born thespian.
Well, never mind what she says. I'm sure you're as normal as anyone.
Anyway, to work myself into the part, I'm going to recite some of Scrooge's speeches at my landlady's anniversary party.
Oh, is it Miss Bradley's wedding anniversary?
No, it's exactly 10 years tomorrow since Mr. Bradley left her. He went out to buy some milk and he never came back.
What did she do?
Luckily, she had some of that powdered stuff. Every year she invites a few friends into her front room and rarely lets her hair down.
Well, you are going to have a busy week.
Yes, I'll have to leave the office routine to Mr. Lurks Brown. Where is he, by the way? He's usually in by 12.
Oh, he's been in, sir. He's gone to see the permanent undersecretary.
Oh, dear. Sir Gregory hasn't heard about our little blunder, has he?
Which particular little blunder were you thinking of?
Oh, that new computer for the Ministry of Defence. We mixed up the design of the department's hot food dispenser. They fed in lots of scientific data and out came a statement in reply.
Now, Mr. Elby's gone to see Sir Gregory about recording the Prime Minister's speech tonight.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, it's a big thing about the economy and they've got to record it in advance.
And Elby's involved with the PM? Oh, I'll bet he's pleased about that. He'll be more smug than ever.
Yeah, you can see it, can't you? Mm. He'll come in, twiddling his moustache and he'll say...
Fittimer wants me tonight. I'll be at number 10 Downing Street.
Oh, well done, Mildred. That sounded just like him when he goes all pompous. Yes. Hello, everyone.
Did you hear what I said, too? I have been invited to 10 Downing Street, the center of public affairs. I shall have a foot on the very seat of government.
You're not the only one with a top-level job. I'm playing Scrooge for the civil service players.
Oh, good grief. You're not still messing about with amateur dramatics. Even after that disaster with Hamlet.
Why bring that up? I only fell off the stage once. That was because I had my wig on back to front.
I've come round to the view that amateur dramatics are a waste of time. If I want to see rubbish like that, I can see it on television.
Everyone needs an hobby, sir. I mean, you can't work all the time.
That is very true, Mildred, very true. And as it happens, I have a spare time activity, totally in keeping with my status and position. I have been asked, you say, to be master of a ceremonies for the Civil Service Old Time Dancing Club every Friday.
I thought old Roger the Board of Trade always did that.
Well, he did, but he got too eccentric. Last month he arrived in an awful state. He'd been over at Customs and Excise tasting the confiscated liquor. He called some very odd instructions for the gay Gordons and Miss Boot called the police.
To take his place, sir.
That's right. They wanted someone with poison personality.
I just thought old Rudge was poisonous enough.
Poise and personality, too.
Can we come and see you on Friday?
Not this Friday, no. No, I shan't be able to make it. I'm trying to find a deputy. But I mustn't burden you with my problems, must I? Sir, I toddled off home.
But you only just got here, well.
No sense in overtaxing myself. I want to be at my best when I meet the Prime Minister tonight. I'll tell you all about it in the morning.
Yeah, I may be a little late tomorrow, Ron. I have an early rehearsal with the drama group.
Well, now, shall we run through your first scene, Mr. Lamb?
Yes.
Scrooge is in his office,
yes.
Brooding about Bob Cratchit.
Mm, yes.
Off you go.
Right. Christmas Eve it may be, but I'm going to stay in my office and scratch it.
No, no, Mr. Lamb, the name is Cratchit.
Oh.
And it should be. I'm going to stay in my office and Cratchit can do the same.
Oh, silly me.
Yes, yeah, right. Now, hang on from there.
Yes. We've got to work hard, not waste time being jolly. We've got to work hard and rake in the knowledge.
It's a jam. That's not in the script.
No, it's a little rhyme I made up myself. I thought the dialogue needed brightening.
Well, thank you, Mr. Lamb, but we'd rather have it as it's written. Next speech, please.
Yes. Curse Cratchit. All this work and worry. And what do I get? Runs off stage.
Runs off stage is a stage direction. Oh, dear. Now, look, Mr. Lamb, I may have made a mistake. I'm beginning to feel you're not quite right for the part.
Not right, but what about our production of Treasure Island? People said they'd never seen a Long John like mine.
Well, Scrooge isn't quite the same. I blame myself. I should have seen you're, too young for it.
Too young?
Yes, I mean, your essential youth and vitality keep coming through. The whole dramatic tension drops.
You don't want me to do it, do you?
My dear Mr. Lamb, that doesn't mean I'm dispensing with your services. Mm-hmm. You might be one of the carol singers, or even ships and sailors.
Well, all right, perhaps I will have another cup, Mildred, and I'll try one of those ginger biscuits.
So it all went well last night, sir.
It certainly did, Mildred, yes. I think I can describe my visit to 10 Downing Street as a minor triumph. No, I tell a lie, a major triumph.
And you actually spoke to the Prime Minister?
His speech was about the economy, you see. So he asked me about one or two facts and figures, over a glass of sherry, of course. And I was able to put him right about the whole thing.
Well, I'll never. Talk about mingling with the mighty. When is the speech recorded, anyway?
Ah, well, it has to go out on Friday night on the European Common Market link-up. And the PM will be in America at the time to see the space shot launched.
Oh, yeah, they're sending another rocket to the moon, aren't they?
That's right, yes. A couple of astronauts are going up to look for minerals.
Dark, call it. They know there's nothing there.
Yeah, it does begin to look like it, doesn't it? The moon seems utterly barren and empty. Like,
Mr. Lamb.
Yes, like Mr. Lamb. Oh, hello, too. Didn't see you creeping in. You look like an accident on the way to happen.
Well, Miss Quick doesn't want me to do it anymore because she thinks I'm too young and it keeps coming through and the whole thing droops, so she'd rather do it with somebody else.
So, you'd better sit down a minute and let's try it again, shall we?
I've lost my leading role in the Christmas Carol.
Ah.
Miss Quick says Scrooge should be played by someone who's old and mean and ugly.
Well, I think your idea's for the part.
Yes, well, if you ask me, you're well out of it, too. There's more to life than amateur dramatics. I was telling Mildred I had a splendid time with the Prime Minister last night.
Yes, the PM had him in for sherry and asked his advice on economics.
And on microphone technique? He was worried about keeping his head still. But I told him there's nothing in it.
Wasn't that
kind of
secretary there too, sir?
Oh, yes, Gregory was around, but it was me the PM wanted to talk to.
Good morning, all of you.
Hello.
Just dropped in to tell you, Lennox Brown, that the PM's recording went very well last night. But sorry you had to stand outside in the rain all evening.
Stand outside? But you...
Quiet.
Well, someone had to keep an eye on my car. You can't be too careful with all those politicians around.
Mr. Lennox Brown said...
Not now, Mildred.
But I hope you managed to glimpse the PM through the window, Lennox Brown. He was in very good form last night.
Yes,
The PM seemed to be taking an interest in my career. The Whitehall Whiz Kid, he called me. Yes. He's asked me to join his party to watch the moonshot in America.
Congratulations, Sir Gregory. I'm surprised it isn't us you ones you get on so well together.
I should keep quiet, too, unless you fancy an umbrella in the teeth.
Now, here's the tape of the PM's speech, by the way. See that it gets the BBC in good time for Friday's broadcast.
Very good, sir.
You can take care of that, Lamb. I don't want you wasting your time playing around with that arctic, crafty, amateur, dramatic mob. Can't have my staff prancing around in fancy dress with makeup all over their faces. This isn't the Foreign Office, you know.
Quite right.
Of course I'm quite right. I'm always quite right. Oh, and by the way, I've decided to establish a ministry tape recording unit. After all, we've got to keep this department abreast of the time.
Oh, we do, Sir Gregory. We've had a typewriter for quite a while now.
Yeah, but we must do more. With important items recorded on tape, we could dispense with these bulky files.
The trouble is, the Ministry tape recorder is a bit unwieldy. It needs three men to carry it and one to work the foot pump.
Well, say no more, Lennox Brown. Look here in my case. Yes. The latest portable recorder. Ooh. I got it from the Ministry of Technology. Double track, hi-fi reproduction, and no bigger than a lunchbox.
Fine. Words of Gregory, it sounds Japanese.
Only when you play it too fast. Now, the tape recording unit will be based on this office, so I'll leave the machine here. But...
Yes, Sir Gregory?
I don't want people borrowing it for private use. That is absolutely forbidden. Do you understand?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, now, if you come with me, Lennox Brown, we'll go and find a tape rack to store all the tapes you'll be using. Come along, man. Don't store all.
Oh, coming, Sir Gregory.
Sir Gregory seemed in a very good mood.
I suppose it's his trip to America.
Yes, but not only that. I hear he's been getting on rather well with Miss Bentwater from the tarting pool. Mm. She's been doing a lot for him lately. And quite a bit of tarting as well.
Well, I'm glad someone's happy.
Oh, now then, it's the lad's no use going all moody about that play.
I know I could do Scrooge. I'm just no good at rehearsals. If only Miss Quick could see me do it with an audience.
Here, didn't you say you were speaking some bits for Mrs. Bratby's friends tonight?
She couldn't come to that. Mrs. Bratby won't let me bring girls in.
Well, why not borrow this machine and record your recitation? Then you could play it for Miss Quick.
What a good idea. But Sir Gregory especially said we must use it for private things.
Oh, you'll never know, will you?
Mildred, I've moved the tape rack since yesterday. Felt it looked out of place by the dartboard, so I put it between the rubber plant and your sewing machine.
I know, she said. Rather smart, isn't it?
Yes. I also feel it can cut down the risk of error. For instance, last week's little snub to the Birmingham Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I honestly thought you dictated Birmingham Chamber of Horrors.
Morning, Mum. Morning, Mildred. Sorry I'm late.
Well, where on earth have you been to? No one's allowed to come in as late as this. Except possibly myself.
Well, I had a bit of difficulty balancing the tape recorder on my handlebars.
What? Don't tell me you took that new machine home with you.
Mr. Lamb had to take it home to clean it, I think.
Yes, quite right. Thank you, Mildred.
Nonsense. Give it to me. Hello. There's a tape on it. You've been using this at home, too.
Well, I cannot tell a lie. I borrowed it to record my recitation, that's all. Listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll put down your glasses for a moment, Mrs. Bradley has asked me to show you a glimpse of my repertoire. We've got to work hard, not waste time being jolly.
That's quite enough of that, too. Sir Gregory expressly said this wasn't to be used for private purposes. Where's your sense of decency, too? Where's your sense of duty? Where's your sense?
What a stupid fuss. You're worse than Sir Gregory. Well, I'm not staying here to be bullied.
Ooh, Mr. Lamb is upset. I wonder where he's going.
Same as he always does when he gets in a huff. He can go out on the fire escape and throw paper darts at the pigeons. But how dare he disobey Sir Gregory's orders like that?
Oh, well, with no harm done. I mean, the tape recorder's still working. Not a nice cup of stir to help pass the time.
No, not yet, Mildred. I couldn't give it proper attention. I've got to solve this Friday night problem.
Friday night, sir?
Yes, I still haven't found a deputy for the old-time dancing.
Oh, your deputy can't be there, then?
No, it's this wretched space shot again. They haven't invited me to America, but I'm supposed to watch on the TV monitor at Dune Hilly.
Oh, what a shame. Why can't they change the date of the space shot so you can go to the dance?
Well, I suggested that to Sir Gregory, Mildred, but he just gave it one of his evasive replies.
What did he say, sir?
Well, just two words, but neither was very encouraging.
Here, I've got an idea, sir. If you can't be there as master of ceremonies, why don't you record your call in advance?
And they could play back the tape on Friday night? Well done, Mildred. Have a go. What an excellent suggestion.
Of course, you need a tape recorder.
Ah, yes. And we couldn't use this one after what Sir Gregory said.
On the other hand, it is a civil service dancing club, isn't it?
That's the point. It's not as if it's a pleasure.
And you are a senior executive, after all.
Indeed. On the established staff, yeah. And it wouldn't take me long to record it.
I'm sure Sir Gregory wouldn't mind you borrowing the machine just once.
Come to think of it, I expect he'd be pleased. He likes us to be busy.
The microphone's all ready for you.
Thank you very much, yes. Well, just to have a look at Friday's program. Let's see now.
Ah, yes.
Hello. 1, 2, 3, testing.
You okay for sound, sir?
Splendid. Off we go. Ladies and gentlemen, please take your partners for that old favorite, the St. Bernard's Waltz. And please don't step on the dog's paws. St. Bernard's Waltz. I see, Milton. They like it, Bob. Right. Now. 1, 2, 3.
Well done, Mr. Lennox Brown. I thought you did that really beautifully.
One has to have rhythm, you know, and do it gracefully and with style.
Lennox Brown!
Oh, Sir Gracefully. That is Sir Gregory. What a shock. What a pleasant surprise.
So, you're misusing the new tape recorder, eh?
Ah, now, don't jump to conclusions, Sir Gregory. It may look as if I'm using the tape recorder, but in actual fact, you say, I'm,
cleaning it.
Cleaning it? With a microphone in your hand? I'm not a fool, Lennox Brown.
No, Sir Gregory?
No, Sir Gregory. No. You've been playing around with that machine, and I gave express instructions that it must not be used for private purposes.
Let me explain, sir. You're annoyed, I tell you.
No, I take it. You're obviously not to be trusted with it. Henceforth, the recorder will be kept in my office.
I don't think Sir Gregory's too pleased, Milton.
Oh, take no notice, sir. He's a bit upset about this American trip. It turns out it's Daphne Bentwater's birthday on Friday. He planned a little party for two. They were going to have it in his office. Now it's off.
I see. Well, lucky I grabbed my dancing tape before he took the machine. He really doesn't want us to use it for private recordings, does he?
One, two, three. Testing. Aha. Hello, Daphne, my little lotus blossom. Bunny here. I'm recording this greeting because I'll not be here for your birthday on Friday. Hate to miss you, but duty calls. I'll soon be home, my angel, and I'll have something special for you. So as soon as I get back, I want you to pop up to my office for a bit. Look after yourself, my little turtle dove. Lots of love and many happy returns from Bunny. Hello, my love, Bunny here.
What?
Pitkin speaking.
Stilton here. It's about this American space shot nonsense.
Ah, yes, sir, yes. I'm going over there with the PM.
Well, that's why I'm ringing. There's a big chance for Britain to grab some of the credit.
Good law. Are the astronauts using British hankies again?
No, but apparently they're going to collect some mineral sample.
Ah, that's right, sir, yes.
Well, the world's number one mineralogy man is Professor Nethercoat of Oxford University. They want him to record instructions that the astronauts can listen to while working on the moon's surface.
Oh, I see, sir.
I heard about your ministry tape recording unit.
Yeah.
And I want you to send someone to Oxford to record the professor's instructions.
Of course, sir. Delighted to be of service.
Then you'll take the tape to America.
Leave it to me, Lord Stilton. I'll send two operatives to Oxford at once.
Well, how do you like Oxford, too?
It's quite attractive, isn't it? But when you've been through Cambridge, no other university compares.
I didn't know you went through Cambridge.
Oh, yes. It was a Friday afternoon. And I remember, because my bike broke down.
Professor Nethercoat will receive you in the library, gentlemen.
Oh, thank you very much. Very kind. I've heard of this chap Nethercoat, you know. He's one of our top scientists.
Yes, a first-class brain, by all accounts. That'll be him over by the science shelves. Good afternoon, sir.
Oh, good day, gentlemen. Well, my name is Lennox Brown, sir, and this is my colleague, Mr. Lamb. Well, we're none of us perfect. We've come to record your instructions for the mineral search.
Oh, well, I'm afraid it's the only shirt I've got.
A recording for the astronauts, Professor Nethercoat.
I had another one with green spots, but... What? Oh, I'm not Professor Nethercoat.
You're not?
No, he's that brash young bounder over there.
Ah, so you've come to record my instructions, eh? Right, well, switch on. Let's get it over.
Yeah. Just speak into the microphone here, Professor.
Digging on the moon's a tricky business. Right, now, listen carefully. With your feet firmly on the ground and gripping your partner's extension, stoop without bending the knees. If you see anything helpful, Have a good grope around. But if you get no results, proceed to stage two.
Here, hang on a bit till I'll have to consult me now.
Yes, well, by all means, Professor. I'll switch off the thing.
Oh, marvellous, these gramophones, aren't they?
Yes. Forgive my asking, sir, but who exactly are you?
Me? Oh, I'm... I just a minute ago. Hall's my name. Albert Hall. Professor of Pure Logic.
I'm just sorting out all the tapes and boxes, sir, before I put them in the tape rack. I've invented a foolproof system, so we always know what's what.
Good thinking, Mildred.
Now, this tape with the blue label is the PM speech, right?
Yes, that goes to BBC.
I'm putting that in the green box.
Blue label, green box.
And this one with the purple label goes in the yellow box. It's the professor's instructions to the moon, then.
Purple label, yellow box.
So Gregory takes that with him to America.
Well, you have got it all well organized. And what about these private tapes?
Well, here's Mr. Lamb's Scrooge recitation with the violet label. That goes in this new grey box.
I'd have put it in the old grey dustbin, but go ahead, yeah. Ah, this is my tape for the old-time dust.
That's easy. Put that in the black box.
Yes. And here's the tapes that Gregory made for Miss Bentwater.
Ah, that'll go in the blue box. I have to give that to Daphne on Friday.
What a splendid system, Mildred. But how do you remember which is which?
Oh, it's easy. I just put all the colours I like together. And all the colours I don't like together.
Ah, yes, of course. Tom?
I say, man, I just saw Miss Quick and she's coming to hear my Scrooge tape.
Oh, glory. Well, it's in the tape rack, too. But if that woman's coming, I'm off. She's always after me to lend her my suit for the pantomime.
Right, come on, Mildred. We'll go and find some more paper.
I do hope Miss Quick's impressed. If she still thinks I'm too young for Scrooge, perhaps I could play Tiny Tim. I could easily do it with velvet trousers and a wooden crutch.
So, this is your office, Mr. Lamb.
Yes, sorry about the pajamas on the desk, but there's simply no room in the safe. I've got the tape already.
Well, I am rather rushed, so I'll take it and hear it at home.
No, all right, if you prefer it, but perhaps while you're here, you'd like to see my impersonation of Lloyd George.
We shall fight them in the street.
Oh, dear.
Dear me, you've knocked your tape rack over.
Silly me. Never mind, I'll pick them up.
Well, I must go, Mr. Lamb, so if you'll just give me your tape.
Yes, it's this one in the green box. Or was it the yellow? No, it must be this one. Here you are, Miss Quick. You'll be amazed when you hear this, I promise you.
Happy birthday, Daphne Bentwater.
Hello, Mildred.
Tom, I brought you a little present. I knitted it myself.
Oh, Mildred, you shouldn't have. Oh, what a lovely big shopping bag.
Well, it's a hat, actually.
What a lovely big hat.
And Sir Gregory asked me to bring you this. It's a message he recorded for your birthday.
Fancy. And I thought he'd forgotten all about it.
I brought our tape recorder so you can listen to it now.
You are thoughtful, Mildred. But I don't think I know how to work it.
Oh, don't worry. I'll set it all up for you. Just press this button.
What a nice idea of Sir Gregory's.
Yeah.
It's funny. People think he's all pompous and stuck up. But really, he's quite sweet. He puts on funny voices and clowns around. Sometimes he has me rolling about.
Shall I start it then?
Yes, please.
Right. Off we go.
I want to talk to you now about something that vitally affects you and me.
That's Gregory?
I think it's one of his funny voices.
Not so likely, but that in spite of changes going on around us, we shall continue doing the same basic things we've enjoyed in the past.
Ooh.
But I just want to tell you, the time has now come to try out new techniques.
Ooh.
For a start, let us consider the French position.
That sort of thing on tape.
Our French friends have for years advocated a greater squeeze in certain essential areas.
Setting up a stand. Dirty old devil. Where did I see him?
Yeah, Daphne, I'm not sure that was Sir Gregory. It was in the blue box. But look, it's got a blue label as well.
Oh, that's a good job done, too. Yeah. Mr. Gregory's telegram says the astronauts got their tape all right, and the PM's speech is safe at the BBC.
Here, I just took Sir Gregory's tape to Miss Bentwater.
Well done, Mildred.
I mean, when we played it, it wasn't. I gave her the PM's speech.
Oh, I say, did you hear that one? How very amusing.
It isn't funny, Mr. Lowe. time.
No, if it's about the economy, it wouldn't be. Rather boring, I suppose.
Be quiet, too, will you? I don't like the sound of this.
Honey, where's the glittery type?
Well, it was in the green box with the yellow label, or vice versa.
No, that was my recital at Mrs. Bradley's party.
What?
Or was it in the purple box?
No, that was the chap for the moon.
Where is my tape for the old-time dancing?
It doesn't matter, sir. It's all too late.
Oh.
Here is the news summary read by John Curl. The American astronauts, Commander Costello and Captain Abbott, who landed on the moon last night, today began their planned search for minerals using taped instructions from a British expert. Viewers watching the scene on worldwide television were surprised when the astronauts stepped onto the moon's surface, joined hands, and began to dance the Gay Gordon. The astronauts later danced the Valita, and Commander Costello was thrown in the air by his partner. He is now the first man to orbit the moon without a spacecraft. That's the end of the news summary. There now follows a specially recorded broadcast by the Prime Minister, who will speak on the country's economic problems. The Prime Minister.
We've got to work hard, not waste time being jolly. We've got to work hard to rig in the lottery. We must hold each pound note, although it seems funny. It's the easiest way to double your money. I'll make them work hard and keep them in debt. I'm the meanest man you've ever met.
I'm glad I was away while that lot happened.
Oh, it was all right in the end, Mildred. The old-time dancing on the moon was a great success.
Yeah, I read about it in the papers. The Americans said it was planned to show off their fitness and skill. But what about your type going out as the PM speech?
Oh, well, as soon as the political broadcast was announced, everybody switched off.
What did worry us was the civil service old-time dancers. They followed the instructions for the moon men. All that gripping and groping, and someone sent for the vice squad.
Daphne Bentwater got dead stuffy about her message from Sir Gregory.
Oh, she soon forgave him, Mildred. He brought her some gifts from America.
Just what she'd always wanted. Cigars and whiskey.
Just a minute, though. There was another type.
What, sir?
What's Sir Gregory's birthday message to Miss Bentwater?
Oh, glory. Where did that go, then?
Ah, there you are, you two.
Oh, Sir Gregory, we can explain everything about
it. I understand. You sent a tape of my voice to the drama group producer.
Oh, dear.
She's delighted with it. Hmm? Said my voice was just right. She's offered me a leading role in A Christmas Carol. Larking about with lots of jolly little actresses, what?
I thought you didn't approve of amateur dramatics, Sir Gregory.
One has to learn to be flexible, you know. I wonder what the part is. I can't wait to start rehearsals.
Oh, now I see what Miss Quick meant about filling that last vacant part.
Wait, you mean you know what part she's offered him?
Yes, it must be. He won't be very pleased.
What's he going to play, sir?
The Ghost of Christmas Past.
Oh, no! No.
Getting things taped as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and Hilary Pritchard. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.